say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. This is the second show we're recording today. This is Tuesday. I like to tell people, you know, full disclosure, you know, just like you do in your profession, Tuesday, November 24th. So this is the second show. You know, sometimes the first show is better in a certain sense. You know, you feel like you're fresher or whatever. Sometimes the second show is better because you're really getting into it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
In detail, you know, you kind of feel like you're on a roll. So let's see how it comes out today.
Okay, sure.
All right, so we're going to talk about some things such as, well, among others, dental cleanings. Why don't we start with that?
Yes.
Which is something that people, I think, probably don't understand. You know, they say, like, well, visit your dentist. Is there like a rule of thumb, like visit your dentist a couple times a year? Is that appropriate?
Well, it's important to realize that the six-month time frame for cleanings, I think that was probably set up, 50 or 60 years ago. Well, wasn't it set up by insurance companies and it was arbitrary?
I don't think they talked to us in the dental profession about what's that magic number. It's not 6 months.
I think it was arbitrary.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting they didn't consult the dental profession to ask them?
I don't think so. Either that or if they did, 6 months is probably fine for most kids.
Yeah. Dental insurance companies pay for 2 a year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you need or can benefit from 2 a year.
And that's probably adequate for most kids.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Teenagers.
Yeah. Most.
Yeah.
Some, there are exceptions to that also. That said, what we find, because we treat mostly adults and we try to, and our focus and our specialty periodontics is really prevention. What we find is for most adults, 6 months is way too long.
I go every 3 months. I think that's what you recommend.
Correct.
I'm glad that I do.
Oh, absolutely, because we're going to prevent problems. It'll be money well spent.
Now,
if you get a car and the manufacturer says, you know, that you should have oil changes every 6,000 miles, you know, you should have it every 6,000 miles, and you're going to prevent engine problems that way. So we try to custom tailor a maintenance program to each individual patient. Most adults would be fine with 3 to 4 month intervals. Every 3 or 4 months, they should have cleanings.
Adults.
Adults. Mm-hmm. So we have some patients, Jeff, that are every month and a half. They're smokers. They don't do such a good job with their platform.
Coffee drinkers? Mm-hmm. Stain the teeth?
Coffee is more of a staining problem rather than a health problem. It's more of a cosmetic issue because of staining. But what our job is for routine cleanings is to prevent dental disease, whether it's decay or periodontal disease. And most adults do better 3 or 4 months. I say 4 months if an adult has nothing wrong with them. More like 3 months if they have had a history of decay, a lot of crowns in their mouth, or any level of periodontal disease or recession problems, most adults would be better with a three-month program.
People are so cynical, though, sometimes. They say, you know, you don't need to go in there every 3 months. They're just, you know. But one thing I've learned from being involved in the show is that if you deal with it now,
yes,
it's going to be a lot less expensive than if you deal with it. Once you start feeling all that pain and everything, and there's a problem, and you come to the dentist with the problem.
Well, I mean, if you're prone to decay and you're there every 3 months, it'll be caught sooner rather than later. It can be a simple filling. If you wait 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, especially for our senior citizens that have dry mouth, they've got a bombed out tooth in 6 months. So you could have had a little $100, $300 filling 6 months ago. Now we're replacing a tooth, we're losing a tooth, and we've got to think about how to replace it. And that's
thousands
true.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
Yes.
Thousands on the low end.
You know, it's the same thing. You use the car analogy, Dr. Edelstein. You know, if you don't get your oil changed regularly, you could be in for a huge investment that you have to make now just to get your car back to where it needs to be.
Well,
sure. Huge.
Let's talk about this. Teeth are not perfect squares. They're not straight lines. They have roots. They have grooves. There's soft tissue around them. Very few adults demonstrate thorough plaque removal. Think about the difficulty of cleaning around that. The older you get, if you have recession or bone loss, some of those roots are exposed. That's really tricky anatomy for a patient to clean at home. Let your dental hygienist clean that off every 3 months. It's easier for us to do. We can reach it and we understand that anatomy.
When I get a cleaning at your office, let's say, so now I do it every 3 months, when somebody comes to your office for a routine dental cleaning, do they see the dentist at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have to.
So you come in, you did with me the last time I was
yes.
there, I remember
yes.
that.
Yes.
You come in, you took a look, and...
Legally, we are required to provide an examination every hygiene visit. In other states where they where the board doesn't require that that in such a stringent way, it might be different. But in the state of Georgia, we have to examine every patient for every cleaning.
It's amazing, you know, because that's Georgia.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I think that's a good thing.
I
think it's great. It sounds like it's what we need.
Yes.
It's only appropriate.
Yeah,
it
is.
I agree.
For that. So what does a cleaning entail?
Well, patients come in, they sit down. It starts off first with a medical history review. Let's talk about what's going on just with their general health, because right off the bat, that can affect their oral health. If they're diabetic, if they're on a bisphosphonate, if they have heart conditions, you know, these are things we need to know. After that, in our office, I mean, first of all, we do an hour in our office. A general office probably would schedule 40 minutes. We schedule an hour. In our office, when patients sit down, there are, let's evaluate, see if there's a need for x-rays. If there are, we update them. Next, they will get a thorough evaluation of their gum pockets. Our hygienist will chart that in their chart at each and every cleaning. And then if we're watching them for recession, the next measurement to be taking is millimeters of recession on each teeth, comparing back to old or previous chartings. Is there changes? Is there not changes? Is the patient stable? Are they not stable? And then after that, you'll start the cleaning and make any recommendations from there, such as fluoride. If they have a high decay rate, we'll put them on a fluoride. If they have sensitive roots, we can apply a root desensitizer. And then at some point, either in the beginning, middle, or end, we will tailor program how they can care for their teeth at home. What aids do they need? What special tools can we give them? A polishing. And then an examination by Dr. Edelstein.
You gave me a thing.
Did we give you a tongue scraper?
Yeah, tongue scraper.
Yeah, everybody's is individual. There's not really a set plan for everybody on how... I mean, there are some basics. Brush the gum line and floss. Those are our basics. After that, we dive off of that platform, and it's really custom tailored.
Do the patients, maybe this is, we're naive, you know. We often think that a cleaning means that we're going to come out of there, our teeth are going to be nice and white. That's what we're looking for.
That's probably the least important part.
Isn't that interesting?
Health-wise, you can walk around with stain on your teeth. Stain is not a disease-causing entity. And, you know, it really is a controversial thing going back to when I was in dental hygiene school. Should we polish or shouldn't we? Should we do selective polish, meaning only polish where you see stain? There are some patients that came into the practice who have such heavy stain on their teeth, the goal is really stain reduction. It would take a half an hour. And if you're cleaning their teeth, we have one patient, if we're not careful because his stain is so waxy, we can actually start to carve out. I've seen photographs, not this particular patient, but I've seen photographs where the hygienist overzealously scale the roots and their teeth look like apple cores because the roots are soft. They're trying so hard to get that stain off. Technically, stain doesn't really have to come off.
So
bacteria,
what's the verdict?
Different issue.
So what's the verdict? Polish or not polish?
We polish. In our office, we do polish.
Sure.
People want it. It's nice. You should have clean teeth. It makes you feel good. And we do.
And you can feel spaces between your teeth, you know, that,
yeah.
that you didn't feel before. You know? Because I'm very self-conscious about my teeth, you know, and sometimes I feel like, you know, I need to get in and get them. I'm so glad I've got a cleaning coming up because
it feels good.
My teeth are filthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. For me, and I know for most of our patients, I equal a teeth cleaning just as pleasurable as going to get a massage. I mean, I value that.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I I want them cleaned. I clean my own. I'm a hygienist, so I just get my little tools out and clean them when I feel like
I need it. If you don't mind me asking, is the cosmetic aspect important to you, too?
Yeah.
You have beautiful teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You have very nice teeth, too, Dr.
Oh, thank is, you.
Don't you think it's important, though, that the dentist and the hygienist
I
have very
so.
Nice teeth?
I think we should be walking advertisements of our profession. Yeah,
absolutely.
Have you ever seen some who don't?
I have.
I mean, that would be like going to Weight Watchers and your Weight Watcher counselor is 425 pounds.
Yeah. He's going to give you advice on how to lose weight.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I remember once I went to an orthopedist for a knee problem, and he had, the yellow stain on his fingers, like from a chain smoker.
Smoking.
And it was like, I didn't go back. I mean, I was like appalled at this guy, and he smelled like tobacco, like unbelievable.
I would lose respect for somebody.
Yeah. I think a good healthcare professional really can't take you as far as his own personal values. And if they personally value that, they feel passionate about it, it's hard not to. Dr. Edelstein sits in our hygiene chairs every 3 months and has his teeth cleaned. I've worked for him for 20 years. I don't think he's missed a cleaning or his family.
Wow, excellent.
It's the truth.
I have not.
All right, we have to take a break, but I'm going to tease the audience with the subject of this next segment coming up. It says, come before a wedding, exclamation point. Come before a wedding. All right, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road in Buckhead, right across the street from the Piedmont Hospital, right next to the Darlington Apartments. Have we seen the latest population figure?
You know, I didn't look today. Sue drove me down here, and I was distracted. I didn't look. We were talking.
So it was the Darlington show. That's the complex that has that population figure,
yes.
Folks. I think it's up over 6 million anyways.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
6.4,
something like that, yeah.
Keeps growing.
And then I think when Piedmont Hospital delivers babies, they probably have a little button. They make that sign go up by one more.
That's funny.
They should.
All right. We'll be back with Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Edelstein right after this.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And I want to remind our listeners about your new patient special. It's $129. Maybe I should tell the audience this story. So I didn't know you, okay? And we ended up doing the show together. I didn't know either of you. And I think after about the second show, I came up to you after having told you about a friend of mine. I told you that, I said, I need to come see you.
You came out of the dental closet, yes. Didn't you, Jeff?
My friend says I need to come see you. No, my friend needs to come see you. But that's what I said after listening to you. You know, I think it was maybe about the second show, would you say?
Did we sound credible and believable?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what I didn't realize is, you know, the periodontal disease is something that, first of all, it's of epidemic proportions.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Number two, it often starts at a young age.
Yes.
Yes.
Number three, if not treated, you've got a mess on your hands. And also, another thing that I didn't realize was that the condition of the gums it tells us the condition of the overall body to some extent.
It to does. Use your
consistent
words, it's ground
with the,
zero.
It's ground zero.
It does. And periodontal disease in particular has been, there are correlations with heart attack, stroke, diabetes, preterm delivery of babies. There are other correlations.
Alzheimer's.
What?
Alzheimer's.
There are some correlations with pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, did I mention arthritis? Kidney disease, chronic kidney disease has been correlated with periodontal disease. Erectile dysfunction has also a study out of Turkey.
That alone might get people in right away. Too. You know? Let's face it, what is it? Viagra, I think, is one of the biggest selling medicines in history.
You may just need a dental cleaning.
Yeah.
You might not need a blue pill. You might need a periodontist.
It's a hell of a lot cheaper. I'm not going to say how I know, but I'm just telling you.
Your friend.
My friend, he uses it, and he told me it's very expensive. All right, so come before a wedding. Now, this makes a lot of sense. God, I'd hate to go to a wedding and see a bride who looks like...
Could you imagine?
No.
Come and have
your teeth
cleaned.
Or a groom, for that matter.
Yeah, get your teeth polished before a wedding.
Do you have that happen from time to time?
Yeah, a lot of our female patients come in, and they just want a nice polish or a nice cleaning before a wedding.
You know, I could also mention that folks could come to us just for a cleaning. They don't have to come for the new patient special.
Oh, yeah.
The new patient special would be wonderful and a great way to remove a barrier to pursuing treatment for someone who thinks they may have a periodontal problem or need implants, or know they may have a periodontal problem or need implants, but someone who just wants a terrific, gentle, very professional quality cleaning can come to see us directly just for that.
Absolutely.
Come before your wedding too, your honeymoon, all this kind of stuff. Isn't it sad when you see a beautiful, I'm going to say a woman, maybe this is chauvinistic, but a beautiful woman, you know, and dressed beautifully, looks good, nice hair and all this kind of stuff, you know, good figure. And they open their mouth and you say to yourself, wow, unfortunately, this is very lacking here in this woman. And maybe she doesn't realize it.
Yeah. I was buying a new car a few weeks ago and a fun little hip dealership. It was the Mini dealership. Fun place to be. All the salesmen are in cool jeans. And, you know, my salesman had a cute hat on and he starts talking and the tartar is just like, crusted on his lower teeth. And I'm just like, I can see that. So can everybody else. Why, if you're in sales, do you want to present yourself in that manner?
Well, do you think, in your opinion, does he know this?
I don't know.
Surely he doesn't. Or he would do something about it, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
You know, I walked into, I'm going back 20, 25 years. I walked into I think it was a Toyota dealership because I wanted to look at a Toyota.
Oh, we're ragging on the car men now, aren't we?
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was a Toyota dealership. And I walked in, and the salesman smiled, and he was missing a bunch of teeth.
Oh, no.
And I turned around and walked right out. I could not stay.
I've had that situation where, you know, they look so bad, I just can't, you know, I don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
It makes me sick.
Yeah.
Well, pleasant smile has been shown to be to advance someone's career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's a situation where a pleasant smile is a turnoff for sales.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
We had a beautiful
unpleasant smile.
We had a beautiful young lady in here about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. She was in here. I happen to know her. Very nice, very successful young lady. You know, she's young though. She's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when she smiled, and she smiles a lot. You know, it's just something that's very endearing, I think, when you're with somebody who smiles mm-hmm. a lot, laughs a lot. When I went to your seminar, I saw this several times, but when she smiled, I could see the whole top of her gums.
Yes.
Above her top teeth. Yeah, and it was, I hate to say it, but it was awful, you know? Well, maybe I'm exaggerating, but it was just not very pleasant looking. It was a shame because otherwise she's very attractive.
And that's something-
It's very distracting.
That's something we fix on a regular basis, too.
And it can be figured, you know, think, well, this is just my anatomy. This is what I'm made.
Nope. We would analyze the situation specifically, but most of the time we can fix that.
Mm.
We can improve that considerably.
Very uncomfortable to go through at all. Patients are always amazed. Wow, I couldn't believe. Why didn't I do this years ago?
You know, which brings us back to a very elementary thing, guys. And we've talked about this in prior shows. You know, the people are just generally, they're afraid of the dentist.
Last week
you talked about the mother who says to the child, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, you're going to have to go to the dentist and he's going to pull your tooth out.
Right.
He's going to put a drill in there. You know, even that sound to a lot of people.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
To them. People, there is a fear of dentists that people have. And I think it keeps a lot of them away.
It does if they're the true dental phobe. I mean, some people have some anxiety. They're a little nervous, but they will go and have their treatment done. But the true dental phobes, they will stay away for years and years and years and years. And when they come in, they're a mess.
What brings them in? Pain usually? Pain?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They come in?
Yep.
Is it fair to say in many cases, by the time it gets to that point, you know, when you're experiencing the pain,
it's pretty far advanced, whatever the problem is.
It's probably pretty catastrophic, but we often don't treat them to completion. They get out of pain, and or they'll do a few teeth, or they'll start some gum treatment, and then we don't see them again. And I do feel sorry for those patients. I mean, they have a real, real organic inordinate fear of the dentist. I mean, just like someone has a snake phobia or a spider phobia or a claustrophobia, or they can't fly. It's that serious.
I have
them.
All of those. I fly it. I don't like it. But,
you know, all of those and more.
I'm not crazy about spiders and snakes. All this and more. You know? But so let me ask you, Dr. Edelstein, the other side of the spectrum. Just because somebody isn't experiencing pain doesn't mean that there's not something lurking in the immediate background that's going to rear its ugly head at some point.
Well, we've talked about this in previous shows, but periodontal disease is silent. It's not only is it an epidemic, but it's also completely painless, and the symptoms usually are not there. And what we see, not only don't folks get it diagnosed or treated, but we see a lot of undertreatment today, where they may see a dentist, the dentist may scratch the surface, and the situation isn't fixed.
That's what we see the most of.
But that sounds tragic, because here they are going to the dentist, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yes. You wouldn't believe the level of undertreatment we see today. It's that's as much of an epidemic as the epidemic.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
The epidemic of periodontal undertreatment.
Yes.
And folks can come to you, to your office, and in a sense use you as their general dentist. I'm not talking about children, maybe not even teenagers, but people, you know, when you got an adult 40, 50, 60 years of age, I mean, often they have periodontal disease to begin with, so they need to be monitored by you constantly, don't they?
The best way to describe what I do, 50% of what I do, is treatments, either non-surgical or surgical, to fix the foundation around the teeth, and including implants, and 50% of what I do is to keep people from needing the first 50% in the first place.
Yeah.
By having terrific cleanings for life.
Well said.
With a custom-tailored program designed for them to need less dental procedures in the future.
And if they got the periodontal disease, you can turn it around in some cases? Yeah,
Most cases, we can get a handle on it. We can help them with either surgically or non-surgical means, including the perioscope we have today. It's a wonderful way to see under the gum, and a wonderful way, non-surgically, minimally invasive, or I would say non-invasive, that we can actually fix people that have gum disease today.
Talk about a dental cleaning. Now that's a dental cleaning with the scope. When I first got trained on it as a hygienist, I wanted to scope my own teeth. Yeah. What might be underneath there? What might I be able to see for the first time?
And this enables you to see the part of the tooth that you could never see before.
Unless they had surgery.
We can see into the pockets.
How many dentists in Georgia have the perioscope at the level
there of, might that you be, have? There might be three or four, maybe five.
That's
But we're the only ones with the high resolution, the latest, greatest high resolution perioscope.
Is that important to you? When something new comes out?
Not necessarily, because I don't want, a lot of times when something new comes out, it may not be great.
It's just new. Yeah, the first
generation, the older generation, the resolution, I never was impressed with the resolution of it. So I waited until the technology improved to where, and the technology and the state of the art improved to where it was very useful as far as an instrument because of the resolution.
Mm. They got the bugs worked out, so to speak.
But not only that, the first generation came out about 20 years ago, and they didn't sell enough, so the company went out of business. So the only periscopes that were available were on the used market. They didn't have a warranty, and again, the resolution was from a machine that was built 20 years ago.
Wow.
So I waited until an entrepreneurial periodontist actually in California called John, by the name of John Kwan, came out with he bought the rights to the trademark, I guess, Perioscope, and he came out with a new generation, and it's been a game changer. Wow. We had the 10th unit in the country.
Wow. We have to take a break, so I'm going to tease the audience again with this coming up, and that is we're going to say, come after braces.
Yeah, great
and
time.
I've never worn braces, but I've known people who said that, you know, once those braces come off, boy, they need a really good cleaning.
It's a great time for a good cleaning.
Great time. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com, because, again, the mouth and specifically the gums, you know, ground zero for so many diseases in the body, folks. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking. Happened to be my dentist and my periodontist. And take advantage of the new patient special, $129. You're going to get $650 worth of services for that $129. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. So we're talking about dental cleanings. We're talking about a lot of things today, but the subject is supposed to be dental cleanings, but we digress from time to time because, well, you know, cleaning the teeth, often it brings up other subjects related there too. But so we said, you know, come before a wedding. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Not even just your wedding. You're going to somebody's wedding, you know, you want to look good.
Absolutely.
You know, you're going to be an usher or best man or bridesmaid or what is it, maid of honor? You know,
mother of the bride.
Yeah, your father of the bride, whatever.
You probably have to get a shirt and a tie. Why not get a cleaning?
Yeah, but it makes sense.
Or dress. Get a cleaning too.
Yeah, and you get lots of pictures at this thing. It's a very, you know, memorable occasion. Mm-hmm. All right, so what about coming in after braces? Do people come to you to have their teeth cleaned after they've had their braces removed?
Well, we do see a lot of people throughout their braces. Most adults need to have their teeth cleaned every 2 months while they're in braces. They're tricky. It's hard to clean around. If they've already had gum disease and they're in braces, they're at risk. But I think after braces, it's a really good time, even for teenagers, young ladies and young gentlemen, because what we can do is just because your teeth are straight doesn't mean they may look their best. You may need to have your teeth bleached. We can probably evaluate and see if you have a gummy smile. What if you have an uneven gum line? There may be some cement on the teeth. I know when I got my braces off, I was cleaning my teeth every night because the little scalers, if there's a little bit of cement and you run a metal scaler over it, it marks a little gray, like a little carbon mark. And I was amazed at the amount of cement I had on my teeth.
Were you
so
an
I got
adult
all that out.
Or a kid?
Yeah, I was in hygiene school at the time. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You got braces.
I wore braces in hygiene school. I had the cleanest teeth because my fellow hygiene students wanted to practice on braces. So every day I was in somebody's chair.
A cleaning a
having
day.
Having my teeth professionally cleaned.
How wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. It all was right. Great. That's
now, funny. What about coming if you're pregnant, diabetic, you've HIV positive, God forbid?
Well, these are populations that are more prone to having gum disease and gum problems. And if someone who has one of those conditions, either pregnant, diabetic, or HIV, or really any condition where the immune system is lowered.
Yeah.
Smoking as well.
Yes.
Those folks really would benefit from seeing us. I mean, for cleanings. More frequently than the average person, and we can keep someone like that out of trouble.
Isn't it wonderful if somebody's diabetic, they come to you, and you're able to, you know, through your care, you're able to control their diabetes, maybe even, I don't know about eliminate it, but reduce the
perhaps
problem.
Perhaps the amount of medications they may need.
Well, that would be wonderful, too, because I understand, you know, diabetics often have they've got to give themselves injections. There's all kinds of they got real problems.
Yeah,
we've had a number of patients after we've improved their periodontal problem and they achieve health. They have reported to us that their A1C has improved. So much so, a few of them have been able to reduce or eliminate one of the oral medications that they're on.
Mm. You know, I've told you this before, I think, but my wife and I joke that whatever TV stations we watch must be for people who are older, because it seems like every other commercial is for some medical, some some drug out there, you know, Xarelto.
They are prevalent.
All these things that are out there now, but, you know, I guess the baby boomers, you know, we're getting older and we're having our medical problems.
Yes.
It's interesting that the sales of these medications are driven by the consumer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the doctor.
No.
They, what they want is for people to go ask your doctor.
They say, go tell your doctor you want
yes,
this,
that,
or the
do.
Other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they almost kind of like create a problem in you, yeah. You know?
Ask for it by name.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Go ahead, Sue.
Well, I was just going to say, continuing on about dental cleanings, a real special population group that would be very important to have cleanings is our seniors for a number of reasons. Getting back to our epidemiology, if you're over the age of 65, there's a 75-80% chance that you have gum disease. So right off the bat, our seniors should be having cleanings. A periodontal office is really a fabulous office for them to be in. Secondly, our seniors are on a lot of medications that dry their mouth. When you have lack of saliva, you've lost nature's buffer against the acid that causes tooth decay. And I can't tell you how many seniors we've seen that one dental visit, they're fine, they come in, and they have two or three large cavities. And we'll start talking to them, oh, well, I'm taking this medication, it dries my mouth. I go to bed every night with a throat lozenge, a piece of candy, or a breath mint, or something in my mouth to promote saliva. And the tooth is bombed out in a very short time period. So it is important for seniors to be having their cleanings regularly.
You have many people, patients over 65? Is that a big mm-hmm. part of your practice?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, people are living so much longer now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who are born today can expect to live well into their 90s, maybe even 100.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. The children coming up today, I think their life expectancy, you know, on actuarial tables will be 100. So your teeth are meant to last a lifetime. We're not supposed to lose them because we get old.
Yeah, fall
they
out.
Are meant well, to last a lifetime.
Sue, wasn't it, didn't the Mayo Clinic do a study? And if people that had their teeth
yeah.
lived on average 10 years longer?
Yes. What does that say? 10 more years. That's awesome.
That's a lot of time.
Think what you can do in that decade.
You know, we were talking about diabetes too. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you're diabetic, you got a serious condition here. And of course, the number of diabetics is unfortunately is rising dramatically, especially among children. You know, these.
Well, that's an epidemic.
Oh, it's terrible. But do diabetics do they understand this correlation between gum disease and diabetes?
The folks that see us do.
do their doctors understand even?
I don't think so.
I don't think the medical community appreciates it. I really don't.
Think so.
If they did, we would see referrals from our medical community, and we're not.
We do not.
It's disappointing. I mentioned it to my own physician, who I love and adore, and I even wrote him a letter. Let us be a resource. It just astounds me.
And yet there are really good studies
yes.
that show us that periodontal disease does lead to a higher A1C. And periodontal treatment can reduce that.
You know,
there are really good studies that show that.
And this is not crazy science. This
no,
is based
it's not.
On
not. We all know chronic inflammation is the new hotbed topic in healthcare. One of the biggest sources of chronic inflammation is periodontal disease. And I don't know why that loop is not being closed, why yeah. the medical community is not insisting as part of their, I'm just going out there. I mean, I'm just saying it. I can't believe that part of their criteria, well, let's know your cholesterol reading. Let's know your blood pressure. Let's know your weight. Have you been to see your periodontist? Are you disease-free?
That should be SOP.
It should be, yes, exactly right, Jeff. It should. I think so. I don't think there's a periodontist that would disagree with me, including the gum doc sitting right here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I don't know that the medical community understands or appreciates that.
It just seems like
I love them, but I just have to say it.
Just seems like a blaring error.
There's a disconnect. I think part of it has to do with the training. And medical students and dental students just go on different tracks. And the fact of the matter is the mouth is connected to the body.
It is.
The gums,
it's not separated.
The gums are connected to the body.
It all makes sense. It only makes sense.
You know, yes. Our diabetics, their doctors care very, they will give them more advice. Don't clip your toenails too short because it could lead to infection, gangrene, toe amputation. Don't clip your toenails too short. Do the doctors rail about, are you flossing? Are you seeing your periodontist? Have you had a gum checkup? I mean, it is serious if a diabetic gets a toe infection. It's also serious if they get a gum or a tooth infection, but they're never...
My late father-in-law was a diabetic, and he I don't want to go get too graphic, but it started with a toe infection.
Yeah.
From his toenails being too long,
yeah,
actually. And I guess it was irritating his...
Or probably cut into the side of his toe.
All that, you know.
Yeah, ingrown toenail. They're given more medical counseling about care of their toenails, and that is important and critical. But they don't get the same counseling from their physicians about the care of their gums. I don't understand
and
that.
75% of the adult population over age
65
has gum disease.
When are we going to connect and circle this loop?
That's according to the CDC.
You got the disease. Do something about it. Get help.
Yeah, I mean, I can't scream out loud enough.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, though, I would like to talk about this, and this is how you custom tailor a good home care protocol for your patients.
Perfect.
Last time I was there, and my hygienist, Tina, spent considerable time with me giving me a home care protocol to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. From the practice, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, a periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Edelstein, straight ahead.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. So one thing that you boast at your practice, and deservedly so, is that you custom tailor a good home care protocol for your patients.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Plenty of dentists, unfortunately, do not.
No, they don't. They just follow the six-month rule.
Just come back in 6 months.
Which is, I think, ridiculous. We do actually have some patients. Typically, they're kids in their, I say kids, oh my God, and in their 20s.
Kids in their 40s. You know.
Kids in their 20s or maybe the early 30s. That or maybe very late teens, and they look perfect. They're spotless. They don't have a thing wrong with them. And that's the patient, you know, they have very low rate of decay. They don't have any gum disease whatsoever. They take good care of themselves. And those are folks that we'll have on a 6 month program. And most adults that have any issues whatsoever should be on a 3 month program, period. It would be rare for me to, If there's an adult, someone in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, that person is perfect looking, I think the longest they should go is 4 months.
Yeah.
And then if they have any issues, it should be more like 3 months. And if there's a lot of issues, we have a lot of patients on a 2 month program.
You know something? I interviewed a fellow who's a mechanic,
A
very good mechanic, by the way, one of the best. And I told him that the car dealer where I bought my car, they said, you don't have to come in but every 7,500 miles. Of course, when you come in, I mean, it ain't cheap because they do a lot of things to your car. But he said, I couldn't disagree more. He said, I think you should change your oil maximum every 3,000 miles and sometimes less than that, more often than that. And I see an analogy here.
Aren't they telling you the same thing?
You know, he's trying to help you maintain your car's health.
Because 50% of what he does is help you prevent and maintain your cars, and the other 50% is fix the problems that arise from the lack of exactly what the gum doc said a little while ago.
I can tell you a lot of people put a lot more money into their cars than they do into their dental health.
They sure do.
And it's crazy. It's great. Look, you know, I've fessed up, you know, that I've had some problems, you know, with periodontal disease. Of course, I'm in the age group where it's rather prevalent. But boy, I could kick myself. I've told you this. I could kick myself for not having taken better care of it years ago, because it was identified by a dentist. It was a periodontist when we lived in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And he identified it. And he did some work on me, but I never really followed up after that to kind of see. Mm-hmm. Now, I did visit dentists periodically. Right. But nobody ever really said much of anything to me.
A lot of people don't follow it up. Even if they see a periodontist, they think it's fixed.
It's a one time.
It's fixed. But the problem is, it's maybe not fixed. And even if it is fixed, you're prone to have it come back. So our job is to keep folks healthy after we get them healthy or someone else gets them healthy. And right. And what it entails is a custom recare protocol.
Yeah.
And, you know, I liken it to, tell me if this is a good analogy, you know, that crack in your windshield. I think I've told you this before.
Yeah.
You have that little crack in your windshield and you say to yourself, oh, God. Well, hopefully it's not going to get any worse. It's just going to, you know, it's not really bothering me right now. It's not hurting anything. But it seldom stays at that. You even fool yourself, you know. You know, it was maybe an inch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now it's 2 or 3 inches. And you even say to yourself, you know, I think it's been this length the whole time. It hasn't changed any. You know, next thing you know, it's a foot long.
Yeah,
you're having trouble exactly. looking out of your windshield. Now you got a real problem.
Your foundation is no different. It's no different. And it's so much easier and less expensive to treat when it's a small little ding or ping or crack.
All right, so when we talk about a good home care protocol, I think I know the answer to this question, unfortunately. How important is flossing? Where is that on the scale?
Extremely.
It's way up there near the top.
It's the number one aid that you should be using. The number one aid.
Hasn't the technology given us something else we can do for the same result instead of
no. Unfortunately
taking this stuff
not.
And, nope.
Unfortunately not. Getting back to what I said earlier, teeth are not perfect squares. They're not perfect straight lines. They're rounded, oval, there's root flutings, there's concavities, there's soft tissue around it. And the thing with flossing is you have to go below the gum line. That's where it lies.
Tina said
you've got to get in there.
Absolutely.
And a toothbrush can't go in between your teeth. A toothpick can go in between your teeth, and a proxy brush can go in between your teeth, but none of those tools can go down inside the gum. It's just a piece of string. We have to demyth floss. We think it's so complicated and it's this extremely hard and time-consuming thing to do. When you learn to do it right, it's like any habit. I took a class on calligraphy, and the first few weeks that I took calligraphy, it took me forever to form those letters. Then I could just almost handwrite it out like my normal handwriting.
Wow.
You know, it's not difficult.
What a shame if you go to the trouble to floss and you're doing it wrong. And you're not doing yourself
then
any
you're
good.
Then you're not doing yourself
I
any good.
I can't tell you how common that is.
Very.
And the reason being because most people weren't shown how to do it right. Even if they go to the dentist, the regular dentist may not emphasize helping people floss the correct way.
Or if they're given 40 minutes.
How common is that?
It's very common. If they're given 40 minutes for a cleaning, they don't have time to get out the mirror. And okay, now you show me how you floss, and I'll watch their technique, I'll watch everything they do. You have to teach people how to even hold it. If you hold it wrong, you're already, I mean, it sounds complicated, but once you learn the secret, man, you're in like Flynn. It takes 45 seconds. Floss when you watch TV. Don't even stand in front of the mirror. Bam, you got it done. It's real easy.
How long has my hygienist been there, Tina?
Tina?
With 20 years.
20 years.
20, that's amazing. And she's a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she's gonna have a baby.
Second,
okay. Yeah.
Number two.
I was afraid to.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to say anything to her. I think she did tell me.
You only
January.
Yeah, you only do that once. Ask a woman. Oh, man. I see you're pregnant. No, I'm not. I've just gained weight. You only do that once,
yeah,
and then you
that,
never do
yeah,
it
I think,
again.
I think that happened to me once.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that,
they could be 8 months pregnant. I'm not asking.
No, I love that. I learned my lesson.
I've done it to a patient.
How long have you been with Dr. Edelstein?
20 years.
Okay.
I was hired a month after Tina.
How long has Sylvia been with Dr. Edelstein?
21. Okay,
21.
How long
years.
Has Carol been with?
10.
10.
10. Carol said to me, can I mention her name? Because mm-hmm. I was at your seminar, and she said to me that she lives in Ackworth, okay, and she drives into Buckhead every day to work for you. And she said, I probably pass, I can't remember how many she said.
But oh, hundreds.
Of dentists coming down 75, you know. Going through Marietta, you know, I don't know, Smyrna, mm-hmm. Sandy, all the places that, you know. And she says, but I wouldn't work anywhere else. And she says, it's worth it. You know, because, you know, some people are in things for the money, and that's the most important thing. And maybe if you interview them, if the money thing is the first question they ask, maybe that's not a good candidate.
Yeah.
But Carol seems like, and Tina seems like, and Sue, well, you certainly seem like the person where, you know, we all need money to survive. But this is not about the money.
We love being in healthcare. We really do like what we do. We really, really do.
And it's not all about the money.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know? And let's just tell our listeners, too, let this be your New Year's resolution.
Yes.
Because we are coming up on New Year's. What a great New Year's resolution.
I know, it is.
State what it should be. To have your teeth cleaned. Simple.
Have
your teeth cleaned.
Come see the gum doc for a good teeth cleaning and start from there. Commit yourself to floss. Come in. We'll show you how to do it.
All right. And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Folks, I want you to visit mygumdoc.com. It happens to be you're my periodontist, but you're also my general dentist as well, and I'm glad to have you as both.
It's a pleasure.
It's huge. They're at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking, folks. And visit Dr. Edelstein. And again, I want to thank you, Sue Skipper, and Dr. Edelstein for being with me today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.